Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Bam, 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 bam. It's my NWO attempt.
We do not have shoot jobs as musicians.
Jamming to their theme song. Yep. NWO sold out. What a show. What a colossal train wreck we're going to cover. But it did have one awesome match on it. And that's what we're going to cover today.
Absolutely.
But first, how the hell are you doing?
This is good. Rumble week. I'm excited about that. As always, even though it's Rumble week, we got to cover this one. Just exciting match to cover. Mixing it up a little bit, taking a little bit of a break. This is one, you know, I had it on the list. I kind of looking forward to, and it was one, you know, looking at it, it's like, how the hell did we not talk about this? And then I don't know if you saw recently too, it's probably in the last month, hearing from Sean Waltman saying like he's not opposed to an in-ring return as well too, that he's in good shape, and the guy always looks good every time we see him out there. And so that would be crazy to see as well too. And so why not?
Like, you mean like the 1-2-3 kid coming out at the Royal Rumble?
Boy, that would be, hey, now that would be a thing. Like, if they can announce Mickie James and she's, you know, through the forbidden door of Impact, like, no reason to not let. Now, would he be willing to right now after some of the behind the scenes stuff? Who knows? But let's see how loyal he is to his friends. But yeah, I think that that's one where we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But, and again, I don't know how we've gone so long without doing an Eddie Guerrero match again. And so it was time for that too.
Good. I'm ready if you are.
Let's get right into it, man.
All right, it's time for the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
So this is an interesting one. Sold out. It's an NWO themed pay-per-view. They're in the heartland of NWO country, Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Hello, Seth Rollins. Yep.
Then they spend a fortune on this intro where they're driving trucks through cold, dreary, snowing Cedar Rapids, like on ice. Okay. I mean, this whole thing was just, I get the idea of it. You're trying to build the NWO brand. You may do an NWO show and a WCW show. I get all of it. Okay. But man, this was really something. So the theme of the show is every match has an NWO guy versus a WCW guy. Makes sense, right? We get Masahiro Chono defeating Chris Jericho. Chono obviously being the NWO guy. Big Bubba Rogers, also known as the Big Boss Man. Jeff's a huge Big Boss Man, Mark.
Giant, yep.
Defeating Hugh Morris in a Mexican death match. So NWO's up 2-0. Jeff Jarrett gets a WCW win, defeating Mr. Wall Street, otherwise known as Irwin R. Scheister. Buff Bagwell makes it 3-1 NWO by defeating Scotty Riggs, former tag partner. Scott Norton makes it 4-1 because he defeats DDP via countout in a match. Steiner Brothers get a WCW win over the Outsiders, the WCW World Tag Team Championship. Now we're going to cover our match, Eddie Guerrero and Six, in a ladder match for the U.S. Championship. And then the main event, Hogan Giant, ends in a no contest. So your main event, you're going to end in a no contest. God forbid the Giant takes a pinfall.
That is one match I can promise our fans is not on our list.
Everything on here was bad to worse other than this match. Mm-hmm. 2 stars, half star, dud, 1.25, half star, 2.25, 1.5. Just absolutely fucking brutal, Jeff. Mm. So storyline standpoint, how do we get to this match?
Yeah. So like you said on this one, this show, which I will be referring to them as pay-per-views on this because it's not WWE. This one was presented, like you said, is NWO having their first kind of titled event, NWO Sold Out. Now, it's incorrect on Peacock. It should say NWO Sold Out. It says WCW Sold Out. But how they kind of did this, as you can see, is that you had at the time, whether you remember or not, I'll tell you that Nick Patrick was the NWO ref. And so Nick Patrick actually did every single match on this card. He had the ring is branded NWO. You've got the apron around the ring is NWO. Like the set was NWO. The set was very cool looking as well too. And so just like the, you know, black NWO shirts just everywhere. So everything was kind of doing that. And the other thing too, a big difference here was on commentary, which you had Bischoff and Ted DiBiase, of course, the Million Dollar Man, doing commentary, which was a shit show in itself. And so and having that and kind of getting over NWO. I think we'll talk about it a little bit after that. I think there was maybe the seeds of something interesting here of kind of branding it this way, because now, you know, look at what we ended up with Raw and SmackDown shows, but it did not necessarily work out at this time. And like Tom already said, all of the matches had at least a WCW versus an NWO member. So how do we get to these different guys? I'll start with Eddie at this point. It was actually Starrcade just a little bit prior to this. Eddie beating actually DDP to win the vacant WCW United States Heavyweight Championship. And it had actually been vacated because, again, in storyline, the NWO actually stole the belt from Ric Flair at the time, wouldn't give it back. It was a whole thing. And so it was vacant. So Eddie winning it at that point. After Guerrero won the match, the NWO actually attacked. Well, that's how actually Eddie won, is that the NWO attacked DDP. Guerrero was not happy after that, confronting. It was practically a debuting just a few months prior to this, six in the Outsiders and kind of getting into it with that. They all beat down Guerrero at this point and stole the belt that he had just won as well too. And so it was really just a couple of weeks prior to this event, about 3 weeks, that it was announced. It was actually an episode of Saturday Night that was announced that Guerrero would defend the title against six that sold out. Now, what is the six, you know, where did he come from? Who is this kid? 1-2-3 Kid, of course, Sean Waltman. Yeah, you're welcome. And so, you know, getting that. And so it's actually September 16th, 1996. He was actually shown sitting front row for an episode of Nitro. And so, which I think in regards to debuting someone, like showing them just kind of sitting, like, you know, ominously ringside, it's a good way to debut someone. So
I got no problem with that. That was the way the Radicals debuted in WWE. That's how you brought in Lawrence Taylor, just sitting front row.
All kinds of people. Yep.
I got nothing wrong with the front row debut.
Always a good start, and it always makes news. It's always a big deal. So anyway, so actually that night in September, he reviewed himself to be a new member of the NWO, calling himself Six. And so again, I always hear it, but I always remembered, 1-2-3 Kid added up, you get six. Well, depending on how you break it down too, he was the sixth member of the NWO at the time. And so a couple reasons for the name, which created, absolutely. So that's how you get that now. And so it did not, up until this point, it had not, did not have a whole lot of matches. And so maybe, you know, a few here and there, but for the most, nothing of recognition. And then taking on Eddie Guerrero in one of these first matches for a ladder match. And so, and as we said, is in regards to being an NWO sold out show, really, like, while there had been shows that may have like focused on, you know, a faction or something like that, never to this degree, never to this kind of aesthetic, that the whole branding of the pay-per-view itself was centered around the NWO. And so that's how you get this match. We get the ladder match for the belts. So not a ton of build, because at least for one half of this, because he was really debuting practically. And so, and yes, he had debuted a couple months prior to this. He just didn't have a whole lot of matches until this this match, which would be this biggest match of WCW NWO at this point. So yeah.
There you go. Got a lot to talk about. I'm excited for this one. I'm really excited for this one.
I am too. Yeah. And right. Neither, again, we like other than reading reviews, I don't think I've ever seen this match.
And if someone's listening to this right now and feels disgusted with their amount of body hair, what should they do?
I believe that we have a promo code. It would be payoff20. And as approaching Valentine's Day, you want to look good. And so it is payoff20 on manscaped.com. It giving you 20% off plus free shipping the entire store. Anything that's out there, you can get 20% off. We highly you can use it multiple times too. Maybe you're like, oh, I forgot to order something. Like,
no, yep. I keep buying the shampoo, the body wash, and the ball scrub. I love it.
Absolutely. And so you got friends, all that other stuff doesn't matter. You know, Father's Day is get it early. Use that Christmas money now, get stuff. Valentine's Day, look good for your partner, whatever it might, doesn't matter. So yes, good stuff. 20% off, payoff 20 and free shipping at manscaped.com.
All right. Sold out. Hour 55. Jeff, are you ready?
I am ready. Let's do this.
All right. It's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
This set, I was telling you this before we start recording, this set is wild, man.
Yep. This is very cool. Young Sean Waltman. Crazy. So all blacked out, like even the railing have like For Life on them and stuff like that.
Look, man, it's something different. Look, Eric Bischoff was the only one, you know, I mean, Tony Khan now, but I mean, at the time, Eric Bischoff was the only one that really could come somewhat close from a production standpoint to give Vince and Kevin a run for their money.
You got Nick Patrick playing
cool stuff. They had some cool sets, but like look at like what Impact's done over the years and it's like, it's always looked lesser than. Doing a good job, but even there, I mean, the grandeur isn't necessarily there.
Well, and AEW trying to bring back the, the in your house sets and stuff like that, but who knows what that's going to look like going forward if we're actually going to get that. So
Nick Patrick refing in a NWO t-shirt.
Playing the heel ref, which played played too much into too many matches on this evening. And so raising the belt, here we go. That's, you never see that either. They actually like hung the belt and raised it. Normally it's just already up there and stuff like that. Real quick start. Oh my gosh. Yep.
Waltman just, I mean, he is just
chopping him. Oh my gosh. Spin kick. There we go. Yep.
Has he got lightning on his,
Yeah, he does.
Okay. So that's lightning kid, which is what he was, prior to being the 1-2-3 kid, even wrestled, I think as the lightning kid, I think he wrestled in WWF as lightning kid, the kid. And then I think he was the kid when he won, and then that's how he became over Razor. That's how he became the 1-2-3 kid.
Yep.
That's one. We haven't watched that match, have we, on here?
Or thought we did. I'll have to go back. And we've talked about this is what happens if you've done 150 episodes. So
X-Pac 1-2-3 kid, top matches ever.
Go. Yeah.
His number one match, and I think you and I have this on our list. If we don't, immediately put it on there. The Bret Hart match on Raw.
Yes, we do have that on there.
Okay. Really, really excited for that match. The second one we've covered, that's the Diesel and Shawn versus Razor and 1-2-3 Kid Action Zone match. There's Eddie on top. Wow. Man, Eddie just...
Woo, huge splash.
Huge splash. Man, I maybe I'm just like a grumpy old wrestling fan, but like that shit looks so much better than like some of the choreographed stuff now. Like when they jump to the outside now, too often it just looks like gymnastics. Like that looked like a guy that was trying to kill another guy by diving off of something.
They got like a weird handheld camera right now too that they're using. You see how this looks weird?
Yeah, they do. It looks like somebody's wearing a GoPro, which you can actually see. So the guy there's a cameraman that's holding.
It looks, I thought it was like a boom mic. It's not. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Yep.
No, that's set.
I didn't notice too. So the top of the ramp too says 6.
Yeah.
Because of the NWO show as well too. I missed that little detail, which is kind of cool too. But Eddie, boy, these guys working fast. Whoa.
I mean, they're like working a cruiserweight match. The ladder match has meant nothing so far. Not
we haven't even seen a ladder.
Yeah. So third best match of Xbox career. It was a 10-man tag with Cactus Jack, Too Cool and The Rock against Benoit, Malenko, Saturn, Triple H, and Xbox. I don't know when that took place, but that's interesting. I think it was just TV match. Fourth best was this match. Fifth best was a match he had with AJ Styles in 2005 in TNA. That would be an interesting one to cover.
Yeah, I'll have to add that one.
There's also a Shawn Michaels TV match on there, a Jerry Lynn match, a couple matches he had with Marty Jannetty, if you can believe that. So yeah,
definitely have to add those. Yep, Bronco Buster in the corner there. There you go. Six on to Eddie.
A lot of Guerrero's best matches took place outside the States. His first, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh matches were all outside of the U.S.
Interesting. It doesn't surprise me with how many promotions he wrestled for, but yeah. So
best match ever, or best match in the U.S. ever, was Guerrero Mysterio, the one we've covered before.
Mask for, yeah, that yep. makes sense.
Yep. And then a Benoit match he had, and then an Edge match he had was number nine. A no DQ match against Edge. That'd be interesting to watch.
Yep. So yeah, six on the outside. Eddie Guerrero looks like he's lining him up. Nope. Man, what's he going to do here? Just pull him back into the ring. Wasn't sure there.
Absolutely. So this is your semi. Oh,
whoa. That looked real rough. So that was a suplex from Eddie on the inside from X-Pac or six to the outside. And he landed. That was rough. That looked like a rough landing.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. So this is your semi main event, huh?
Yeah. At this point. Yeah. It's crazy to think that. And like, and this too, I think it speaks to the WCW. Oh boy. Six going flying. Oh my gosh. Yep. Cannonballs to the outside onto Eddie. I think that kind of sign of the times on this one, where as long as WCW was not like the cruiserweights, you know, like criminally underrated for some of the stuff that they were doing. And then these guys go out as the never the main event, but the semi main event, and doing what they're doing. And so, and already we're only a couple minutes in here, but already like great action on this one. And so finally, six walking up. I like to, so we were talking about the setup. They got like motorcycles and stuff, like all on like the ramps and things. And so like, and of course, like attractive young ladies sitting on them and things like that. Like we'll talk about an easy way to make, you know, a couple $100 or sit on a motorcycle for 3 hours. And so carrying down the ladder down the ramp to the ring, and pinning Eddie against the ring with the go running at him full speed with the ladder. That was rough. Unforgiving, as they say. So here we go. Yep.
Really, I mean, really good match so far.
This like handheld camera. I think this is almost like, you know, XFL inventing like, you know, the flying cam and stuff like that. Like I'm trying to think like, where do we, you know, what other things do we get like this nowadays with like kind of this weird camera angle?
Well, you
like,
have that thing AEW does on top of the turnbuckle. Mm-hmm.
Which I do like that. Sometimes it's kind of awkward with how they're standing, but I do, it's something different. I like it.
I like it, but I wish it was a higher definition camera. Like, I don't know why they do like, I don't know. I mean, maybe they have to, but I just wish it was better quality. Oh man.
Oh boy. There's like a springs or a slingshot kind of the ladder, Eddie into Six's face. Yikes. Yep.
You know what I like in AEW? They've got that random like timekeeper table. That's like in the like bottom left corner.
Yes.
Using a lot. But it's like, it's not announcer table. It's just a random table. Obviously nobody gets DQ'd for using it. It's just kind of, I don't know why. I just think that table's funny.
Like that little tray table. Yeah. Like, right. Yeah.
They used it in both of the Daniel Bryan.
Yep.
Danielson Page matches.
Which I think Meltzer gave that a 4.75. I think the second one, I forget, which that time limit draw was incredible. Did not expect that. And I think that's part of the fun of that one is just, I was not texting you because I didn't want to spoil it. And I had a friend just like you. I have friends, friends that watch wrestling. It's my friend Kat. And so, and I, she was she's like, are you watching this? I was like, yeah. And I was just kind of watching at the time. And that was about 20 minutes in, and then like 40, 60. And even I said, I was like, they're not going to go 60 minutes. And sure shit, they went hard for 60 minutes.
But I like them putting the judges ringside just to throw people off, because obviously you thought it was coming down to another draw.
Yeah, which I thought that was like interesting, like definitely interesting. Like, yeah, it didn't play a factor, but just a cool way to do it. And I think embracing blood, like using blood properly, I guess is the best way to put it. Like, yeah, I would expect in a match like that, somebody's going to bleed. And so for them to not, like, it's weird. Do I like it? No, but it does tell the story well.
I've got a gripe for you.
Go for it.
So this two-night WrestleMania thing.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Well, to me, it waters down the matches you're going to get. So instead of them saying, hey, what's the best, craziest possible men's main event and women's main event we could create? Let me just fantasy book it and say, hey, Reigns versus Brock, the final match ever between them with some crazy ass stipulation. And then on the women's, Becky, Charlotte, Ronda comes back, rematch. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, right? You may still get some of that, but you're probably going to get some of these things splitting off. And it's like, because now we need a big time men's and women's match each night. So instead of you getting the best possible match, you're going to get two lesser than matches. It's just annoying, man. I hate the two-night thing. I hate it.
So New Japan, so now we're finally using the ladder. We're climbing. We're in the corner here. New Japan just wrapped up three nights. The third night was terrible. And part of it was because they put their main event was on the second night, which was, it was like Wednesday into Thursday for us in the States. Wednesday into Thursday for us in the States. And then by the time it came around to, or excuse me, Tuesday into Wednesday, and then the match taking place on like the third night was not, it was like whatever. And so I'm with you, that dilutes it. And part of it too is, I think you and I may have said this before, like, if you're not like, yes, everybody wants a WrestleMania moment, they want a WrestleMania match, but at the same time, like, if sometimes you got to draw the line too. And like, hey, if eight matches gives us an incredible card, then that's what you get. And if you did not, for whatever reason, whether you're shitty booking, I feel for you. But at the same time, like, if you're not playing up to the Mania caliber, if that's what you're treating as the show, maybe you don't belong on it. Like, plain and simple. And so you got to earn that spot. And like, you know, same thing, like, what, you know, versus like, I think you're dead on. Even say, hey, we get a four-way women's four horsemen match, like, or horsewomen match, like, that, you know, Bailey comes back at the Rumble and you get, you know, they get all four of them. Okay. Well, instead though, you got to split it up because Becky and, you know, Bailey are feuding, but then you got Sasha's doing her own thing. And then you don't get, and then Charlotte doing the heel stuff. Like,
that's exactly my point.
Totally.
And part of that's the issue with the brand split too, but you can still put, you know, you can do whatever you want for WrestleMania. It's just, oh, that was an interesting,
Whoa,
like a drop kick. When both guys were on the ladder, that was awesome, man.
That was risky as shit. It was from second rung from the top, and he just, yeah, wow. Yeah, but I'm with you at the same time. Like, you know, okay, give me the best matches versus, I get it's the sponsorships, it's the two nights, it's the extra money, it's all this other stuff. Like, you know, I question, like, are they going to continue? Can they sell out two events? I think this year especially is going to be very telling. You know, are they going to have, you know, that type of stuff? Luckily, it's indoors, so you're not going to have the issues you had down in Florida or anything like that. So
maybe my solution to it is, okay, if you're going to have two nights, figure out a way where night one can be built on for night two. So for instance, we have both champions, both world champions wrestle on night one, the two winners wrestle on night two.
Mm-hmm.
So again, let's just use Lesnar and Reigns as example. Maybe each defends a title the night before, but then they wrestle. And I'm not saying you do it for the men and the women, but I'm just using that as an example. Night one, you do a ladder match, eight guys, the winner gets a U.S. title shot versus the champion. We're building off of it to get some great matches versus, oh, U.S. one night, IC one night, Raw one night, SmackDown the other, you know, doesn't do it for me. Now we're trying to create a 20 match card, give or take, right? Well, yeah, but Survivor Series had 8 matches. So now you got to water down. All you're doing is you're watering down SummerSlam.
It's not too.
WrestleMania is now is it's a watered down SummerSlam or a watered down Saudi show. That's all it is.
Is that belt too high? Are you seeing what, like, I feel like it's too
really,
high.
Really, really high.
It's really, really high. Yeah.
They'll be okay.
Now, New Japan used to do, so their Wrestle Kingdom is in January. They used to do, at least prior to this year, what they called New Year's Dash. And New Year's Dash, they would take a lot of the people that had matches at Wrestle Kingdom, and they put them in whether 6-man, 10-man, 8-man tag matches. Like, do you do maybe something like that after Mania? Of like, maybe you do like not necessarily a premium live show or something like that, but like continue to tell the story, maybe, or wrap those things up, or maybe give us like those matches that we didn't get. Oh. You know, oh, hello. All right, so both guys holding the belt now. It's off the hook. They're fighting over it. Neither guy is letting go. Eddie hits 6 with the belt, but it fell. Whoa, okay. And then Eddie grabs it.
Oh, I like that. I didn't know that that's how it ended.
I did. Yeah. From reading the reviews, I was upset. Spoiled, but that was good. Yeah.
I didn't know
how it was going to play out. Yeah. That was really good though. So Eddie hitting 6 with the belt at the top of the ladder, but it dropped, and then Eddie jumping down real quick to grab it. That was interesting for sure.
Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. All right. Let's get into the aftermath.
Oh, it's time for the aftermath.
What'd you think?
Really good. I think that the use, almost interesting. I like the way they did it because they did a, like they wrestled about 10 minutes or 7-8 minutes, and then they introduced the ladder, which I thought was a really good way of then you're mixing it up. You're changing the spots. You're seeing everything looks a little different. Yeah, and so
a cruiserweight match, not a ladder match.
Right. Exactly.
In a good way.
Yeah, absolutely. And so just how it played out, I thought that was really good how they did it. Told a really good story. And there was there was a few ladder spots like the drop kick and like kind of getting pushed over and stuff like that. It was not like, you know, it did not look like a spot fest. How about you?
Loved it. Really, really, really good.
Okay, so what happened right now in the aftermath? What are we dealing with? So right now you actually have Eddie in the crowd celebrating with Arn Anderson. Yeah, he's about 10 rows deep hard cam side with Arn Anderson and one of the Nasty Boys, actually. And so, okay, fine. And so so with Guerrero on this one, actually defending the U.S. champion. And that's the other thing. This is not for like the heavyweight. I mean, this is just U.S. champion. And so, but defending it against Scott Norton at Clash of Champions, which would have been 34. Of course, having this ladder match, it's sold out. Defending it against Chris Jericho at Super Brawl 7. Eventually losing the belt. It was actually at Uncensored of that year, which would have been March. So 2 months, about 2.5 months after this event, losing to Dean Malenko on that point. So, but then going back to after this, after losing that belt, picking up his feud with Jericho again for the Cruiserweight Championship and having a match that, again, this would have been at Clash of the Champions 35, losing that match as well, too. And so having that. And so then wanting a rematch, and it was actually Fall Brawl, Guerrero finally beating Jericho to win the Cruiserweight Championship. And so and then leading into the next pay-per-view, as we have discussed on this show before and even during this match, dropping the Cruiserweight title to Rey Mysterio at that Halloween Havoc title versus match where Mysterio's mask was on the line. And so really good stuff on that one. So, but of course, what happening was 6 at this point, it was actually the next month, Super Brawl 7, like we said, pinning Dean Malenko for the Cruiserweight Championship and hitting him with the belt, just the shenanigans in that one. And then him, of which the belt eventually Jericho winning, him losing that belt to Chris Jericho. And so, kind of some weird storylines at this point, like, yeah, going into Road Wild in August, kind of, you know, they were NWO kind of representing as a Four Horsemen like type group, and he was Ric Flair. It was just not a good storyline, but pretty much it was leading up into a War Games match at Fall Brawl. The storyline was not good, but you had six, Kevin Nash, Buff Bagwell, and Conan representing the NWO, defeating the Four Horsemen of Ric Flair, Steve McMichaels, Chris Benoit, and Kurt Hennig. And then during that match, actually, you had Hennig betraying the Horsemen and joining the NWO. So, you know, kind of dealing with that. So, yeah, overall, good stuff. You know, you had PWI that year. You had six was 21. Eddie Guerrero was 24. So these guys were right in line with each other with kind of what was happening on. And so hard takes on this one, though, of the PW Torch on this one. The first NWO pay-per-view will be remembered, or perhaps aptly put, vilified for years to come as one of the biggest aesthetic flops of the big event. ever. Almost nothing seemed to go right, but what makes more disturbing is everything seemed to go as planned. There was one genuinely good match, obviously the Guerrero versus Six ladder match. The best spot of the entire show was when was the Six kick from the top of the ladder, 3¾ star, which, yes, absolutely agreed. I thought this is some of the hot takes on this one. Funny.
Quarters feels weak.
It does. Yeah. For this one. So one of the writers, not Wade, on this one said the NWO held their first pay-per-view and they really lived up to their initials, quote, not worth ordering. And so Observer Newsletter on this one, Eddie Guerrero beat Six in a ladder match to gain possession of the U.S. title belt. This is an excellent match, although one wouldn't have known it since the announcers absolutely killed the match. Bischoff spent more time trying to get over how he knows karate and Scott Hall invented ladder matches than build drama into a damn good match. Actually, most people didn't even recognize this as anything more than an average match when it was a great effort by both. 4 stars. And so one of the just another kind of write up I had on this one, too, that I was from the Sportster, actually. And this was actually more recently, oddly enough, they kind of going back. So while the Cruiserweight Championship itself was not defended, it sold out in 1997. There's little questions that Eddie Guerrero and Six's match for the U.S. Championship represented some of the best that that division had to offer. Give these two remarkable talents a ladder and they predictably stole the show with far and away the best match and one ahead of its time. It sold out. To WCW's credit, the company truly was thinking outside the box with a number of elements of sold out's presentation. The show simply didn't land, though, and wound up launching a tepid pay-per-view franchise for 3 sold out pay-per-views to follow. Plenty of pieces of the NWO story were successful. Sold out for all of its ambition simply wasn't. The finish of the match was creative, and you don't see very many of these matches end with the belt falling to the mat. Was it the best ladder match I've ever seen? Of course not, but it was a very competitive, and I was a fan. So, don't they do, you know, even some of the writers don't agree with your comment, Tom. And so I'll let you go on first on this one of or going again. We have 4 stars from Dave Meltzer. We have 3¾ stars from Wade and the PW Torch. So thoughts.
You know, I loved it. I thought it was great. I'm giving it a 7.5 because, you know, if I were to give this thing like an 8 or 9 or whatever, it's not fair to the 8s and 9s that we've given over the years. A 7.5, but a really solid 7.5, really fun match, fast moving 15 minutes or whatever it was. I loved it. I thought it was great. Had to be the best X-Pac match of WCW, certainly in his top 10 of all time. Big, big fan of this on an otherwise shitty show. What about you?
I'm going to bump it up a little bit higher. I am going to give it that 8. And so I think that this is one, after going back and watching it, that I would, you know, if you just want, you know, it's almost going to be like a hook match. Like if you want someone just to see like a really good wrestling match, it's not, you know, top tier or anything like that. It's not, you know, but I think in regards to even like, I think we have the benefit of not having to listen to commentary, which, you know, I think we always forget that sometimes it's like, you know, you don't have to play into that. They're not giving you that preconceived. So us just watching it pretty good how we had it. And so actually I think probably helped. Maybe we would have scored it a lot lower if we did have to listen to the commentary, but yeah, where I'm at right now is I think this lives up to that. I think they're putting it at an eight. There's nothing wrong with that because these guys were in it from start to finish, that there was, you know, some interesting how they laid it out and kind of the wrestling. I agree that to this day, I can't think of it. Like that drop kick from the top was crazy. Like that was just really cool to see. And so
it's simple. It's not, I mean, this was
it's
not
a drop kick. Yeah, right. It's absolutely. So for me, that was really good. So I'm going to give this one an eight. That's how I'm going to send them home.
Okay. Fun show, fun match. I loved it.
Absolutely.
It's matches like this, which is why we do this show. You know, you either haven't seen them in a long time or forever. Really, really fun. It's a great 15 minutes. Honestly, really fun. Yeah. So I enjoyed it. Manscaped.com, payoff 20 for all your manscaping needs. And we'll see you next week on an all new episode of The Payoff.